Gamers, what is going on?
The Witness.
Hey, The Witness. Right.
Oh, are we live?
It's the time for the podcast. Yeah. Hello, everybody. It's time for the RGH podcast.
We're over here talking lore, man. I'm geeking out about the story of Destiny these days.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't even know what's going on. I'm like, this guy looks weird.
Are you delirious from all the playing you've been doing?
Yeah. I'm pretty tired. I think I'm finally done with the early mornings other than the, like, you know, Friday Zer stuff, but it's not even that early, but when you stay up to 4 in the morning, anything's early, it turns out.
Very fair.
There's no topics on there, Mike!
I know, I'll do them in a second. So, we're gonna talk about let's talk about the Destiny stuff. The new raid was pretty awesome. I think we're all coming off a lot of hours grinding that bad boy. Also, we're going to talk about Elden Ring popping off. We're going to talk about insider trading, Activision. We're going to talk about, what else are we going to talk about? Oh, Halo Infinite.
Artesian builds update.
Oh, yeah. Halo Infinite issues.
Artesian imploding.
Artesian implodes. Yep. Implodes. Oh, man. Yeah, we got a lot of fun topics today. So Destiny, the season is underway. The crafting is underway.
I would say,
but the big thing is the raid.
The bulk of the season kind of like just shifted over with the raid. We have the introduction and the raid. It kind of seems like the big climax of this season is with the raid, and now we're kind of settling in for that long form content. Like, yeah. We're going to have our first trials is this weekend, right, TV?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just so for a week, and then we get IB.
Just for a week, and then there's IB after that. But then we're kind of settling down. There's obviously going to be the progressing weekly quest. But, like, I don't think there's no, you know, exotic missions or secret things on the timeline. Because I think the exotic mission for this season, right? Because something weird that Bungie does do, I'm not sure I'm a fan. I'd like to get your takes. I'm not sure I'm a fan of they do, like, the Witch Queen, right? The Witch Queen expansion launches.
Yeah.
$40. But at the same time, Season of the Risen launches, and that's $10. And you can get
Its own content. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can get the deluxe edition and get it both, or you can buy one or the other, which seems, it does seem like a little weird. For sure. Like, I it is kind of like, oh, like, who's gonna buy just the $10 version? And then again, there's like separate things. Anyways, my point is, for the Season of the Risen, sometimes there is an exotic quest later in the season, but we already got that with the Dead Messenger. It was actually available immediately. Yeah. And so that's right. Done. And now you can get the catalyst for it. So that's all done.
Well, most people are probably, to be honest, I think most people are probably not going to be able to get that catalyst for probably another week or two. I think most people are probably, you played the mission. Do you think the majority of people are going to be able to do a 1580 activity with champions?
If they watch my video, I got to show my little build. It's actually, with the Arbalest and just an unstop hand cannon, you can get it done. It's not the worst thing in the world.
Is the catalyst pretty good?
No. It's pretty average. It just makes it that when you bust the shields, you add an overshield, which certainly with a weapon that can switch elements, like, you're going to be doing, but it's also like, I would have rather had Ambitious Assassin, right? You know, something like that. So it's one of those, it's a good weapon. The Dead Messenger is a pretty decent weapon for PvE. So it's like, probably still worth getting, but nothing insane. We're not talking like DMT catalyst levels or anything like that.
Right. You think of some of the other exotic missions that we've had. Yeah, you talk about Hawkmoon, you know, Whisper, Outbreak. It's not one of those.
It's just like, it's almost like just a lot of enemies thrown at you, not a lot of puzzle or not a lot of intrigue. No, it's just like, go in, slam it out. But hey, cool weapon though at the end of it. Like, at least though on the lower level, it's, you know, it's pretty obtainable by everyone.
The season that launches with the big DLC is always kind of lackluster. Like, what launched with Beyond Light? Season of the Hunt. And those hunt things are so pathetic. You were done them in like 2 minutes. Like, they were a complete joke. The weapons, other than the deafening whisper, were all trash. And then I think, wait, that one might have had the hawk
moon? Hawk moon was connected, wasn't it? It was a part of that season. I don't know if it was directly related to that quest line. But
the majority of the season, nothing really happened. And then before that, with the first season they did with Shadow Keep, it was the season of the Undying, and you went into that, like, you killed that same boss like 40 bazillion times to get the weapons.
Oh, the Hydra? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, it's obviously they're the main brunt of the focus is going towards the big $40 DLC, which makes total sense. But then again, it's more like, why just include this $10 thing in the whole, have one purchase, like having two separate purchases. I'm sure a lot of people, like, buy the Witch Queen and then are confused that they can't go and play PsyOps, right? And they're like, wait, I have to buy another $10 thing? It just, like, kind of doesn't seem very consumer friendly. I would rather have the DLC be $10 more and it just be everything, right?
Like all the seasons?
Maybe that's what they're trying to do. Maybe it would be harder for them to say, like, hey, this has like a season in it as well. That's why it's $10 more. So they say, oh, buy the deluxe edition, which is $10 more, and then you get both or whatever, right?
So. Yeah, maybe. Either way, I think that there's a ton of content this season, and that raid dropping this past weekend was a big deal for a lot of players because, A, you had contest mode. It was a big deal. They had, like, record-breaking participation, which is great. DMG was tweeting out. He's like, this is, like, the most players we've ever seen.
Wow.
Attempting the raid, and which is really, really cool. Obviously, DSC set the standard for that. They tried to make it more accessible. Mike, you literally said before we went live, you're like, I just played a couple of days and I was raid ready. It's like, bingo.
Yeah,
like that's the way it should be for contest mode. And so a lot of people participated, a lot of people got their clears. They had some hiccups, and so they extended that contest mode for a total of 48 hours instead of 24, so you can get that contest modifier emblem.
And then the community went to war. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about how good the raid is before we go to war.
Yeah.
I think the raid was pretty sweet overall.
Can I just say, like, one of the most visually stunning raids, like, when you walk in and you see, like, the thing in the distance, and then there's the giant, like, obviously a little bit of spoiler or whatever, but there's, like, the worm and getting, like, sucked into this giant thing. Yeah. And you're, like, in the pyramid ship. You're like, this is crazy.
That's the best skybox in the game.
Oh, so good.
Any day of the week. But, yeah, like, really cool raid visually. And even just, like, some of the room was, like, the caretaker room, how it's kind of vertical.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. Same. I don't love the fight long term, but, like, the room is cool. And even the final fight.
As you're going through the, like, collections of all the various, like, there's, like,
it's like a museum.
Stuff. Yeah. You're kind of like this is
trophies from like the races they've dominated or something.
Not even like trophies. Like more like a museum, like a collection. Yeah. It's literally called collection. Like it's a collection of like these different things. So visually stunning. So I'm sure like a lot of people don't usually raid. They're just like in there going, wow, look at this.
What is this?
Very on purpose, like the very first encounter, you can still see in the distance all that happening, and you get closer, and then the boss fight eventually takes place above there, which is like very cool. You're making your way through to where this is. So I think they did that on purpose because I'm sure a lot of teams like literally didn't get past the first encounter because like right away it's like, all right, see these symbols, you gotta memorize all of them, stupid, and then you gotta like enter them in an order. Don't you go to the wrong order, don't you shoot the wrong ones, and even if you shoot the right ones, the obelisk may still reject you for some reason. It just might happen. Like
that's right.
I think they did up the difficulty level. This felt more difficult than something like Deepstone Crypt, certainly than New Vogue, but New Vogue is kind of weird because you kind of know the mechanics, so hard to say. I think this is like in difficulty, I think it probably is like right up there with Garden Day 1 and maybe right behind Last Wish Day 1. Like Last Wish was definitely most difficult, and then maybe this, and then maybe Garden. Because the first completion was 7 hours in, and then the first completion of Garden was like 5 hours.
Right.
Yeah, I think that one of the things about this raid that stood out to me was kind of what you're saying, is the fact that everybody on the team had a job and they had to execute it well. So it's not something that you can just kind of coast through. Most players are probably going to be assigned a job in most encounters, especially exhibition. Like the way that the timers work, you know, you can't pick up the relic back to back times unless you're fast enough to get into the room and let the debuff go away. But a lot of these things, that they require participation from everybody. So that's one of the things that's going to, I think, maybe get people hung up. But yeah, overall,
you can't just sit around killing ads. You're going to actually have to participate.
Yeah, you're going to have to participate. But I really liked, there's two things to me that really stood out. One of them is the way that they've sort of progressed how they do boss encounters. You know, you think back, like even with Vlog, look at the Templar. What is it? Everybody stand here. We're just going to shoot him. He's going to stand there.
In a well.
We'll shoot him until he dies. You know, and put your wells and your bubbles and all that stuff. But now we finally have a boss encounter that is, that's a couple things about it that stand out. One, it's not just a nameless monster, right? It's not just, oh, there's a big monster, let's go kill it. It's a guy with a name, and he's talking to you the whole time. He's like, and he's trash talking. He's like, hey, did you see all those dead ghosts on your way in? I had a lot of fun with those. You know, and he kicks you, and he chases you down. Like, he's after you, and he has this swagger about him. He has character to him, and that's one of the things that really just made that boss encounter have so much character. It was so unique compared to a lot of the other ones, where it's just Riven just sticks her face out, blah, 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 you know what I'm saying? And you shoot her. So that's one of the things.
Yeah,
the way the boss is
talking to you, though.
A little bit throughout the raid, yeah. But,
like, I see what you mean, though. It's like you have that connection to the boss. It's not just like, why am I fighting the Templar? I don't know who this guy is. Like,
right. Yeah.
Or the four, you know, Riven, I think, is a cool boss fight, but then it's like, Morgoth, I have no heat with Morgoth. I don't know who this guy is. Like, who is this guy? And I gotta kill him. I don't know. So that's a good point. Yeah, Deepstone Crypt too. It's like there's a guy and he's like a guy and then Tanix is back and you're like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And now he's got jet engines on him? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. You went jet on Tanix, bro.
What's yeah.
I feel like the symbols and memory games are getting a really overdone though. I'm really getting tired of like, all right, here's 20 symbols that you need to remember, and the person who's reading that symbol, only he can see it or she can see it. Yeah. And there's no way to clutch it because, you know, you don't have the buff that they do. And like, I don't know. It's just like really annoying. And then I was looking at the final fight, and I love the final fight when we're fighting the boss. But the first half, it's like, all right, 3 minutes of doing or 5 minutes of doing symbols that we've already done 50 times, and then cool boss fight. Imagine if we were just in that arena the whole time. And he was doing his dashes, he was attacking, and it just got more ramped up. And he got faster, and it got harder, or he added more attack patterns. And he was just dodging and attacking and trying to survive against this unbelievable threat. Instead of, like, do a puzzle for a little bit, and then you can fight me. I just feel like that type of, like, exhilarating content would be more interesting to me. Because, I don't know, I'm just so tired of entering codes to unlock a door so that I can then fight the boss. And they it's almost like, are you good at shooting and killing and using your abilities, or are you good at memorizing things? It doesn't feel like I'm getting better at the game. You know what I mean? Like I want to have to fight that guy, and then all the platforms fall out, and they're, you know, I have to jump and master my movement to stay alive, and just different things like that. But and don't get me wrong, not every encounter, not every fight. Because I made a comment about that. I was like, you know, I'm getting kind of sick of these things. I'd like, you know, just some bosses where it's crazy dodging and, you know, telegraphed attacks that I need to learn the patterns. And they're like, oh, so you want strike bosses for all the bosses? I was like, I'm just talking about an encounter here and there. High adrenaline, high tempo, exciting moments that aren't Simon Says. I don't know. Just getting sick of it.
For me, I am very into the story of Destiny. I love the lore. So for me, the whole time we're doing this stuff, like, I'm trying to figure out what's the purpose of these symbols. You know, a lot of people look at it, it's like, it's a raid mechanic, I gotta memorize it, and I gotta do it. But then, but then think about this. But halfway through the raid, you walk into a room, and you see symbols, those symbols you've been looking at for the whole raid. Most people walk right past it, but if you stop and you look at the symbols on the wall, and it's literally... The symbols say this: witness, gift, Darkness, Guardian, Witness, Kill, Traveler. And you're like, yeah, wait, hold up. Hold up. Like, you know what I mean? So it's got some meaning there. It's very deliberate. It's very intentional. It's telling a story.
Right.
Even the fact that some of these symbols exist in a pyramid ship that predates our time with the Traveler. Like, that's really mind-boggling stuff. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the other part of the raid to me that really stands out compared to other ones. I don't know. I don't have a clue who freaking the boss in Garden of Salvation. I don't know. Was he just trying to rebuild the Black Garden or something?
Megatron.
Big Vex guy. We shot him and he's dead. But with Ralk, it's like there's so much exposition here. It's like Bungie didn't just throw a boss at us. They're like, here's Ralk. And we're like, who's Ralk? And they're like, let us tell you. Yeah, he's the father of the Hive. And, you know, there's a worm god there. And you know, he made a pact with her to create the larvae that created the Hive and changes everything that you thought you knew about the Hive and their origin story. And by the way, you know, there was no cataclysmic event. The Traveler was there to bless the Hive and choose them. But, you know, the Darkness got there first and decided to do this. And, you know, there's just like so much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the exposition that came out of it was so exciting and earth-shattering. And let's not just skirt over the fact that we've been having this nameless enemy for so long in the form of the Darkness. Ooh, what is that the Hive? Was it the Taken? But now we're like literally in a Darkness ship, learning about the Darkness, their origins, their motivations, how they communicate, who the people are pulling the strings. They have names and we're learning them. Like, that's a huge deal for like Destiny fans. Oh, and that's the other part of the raid that I love.
I think visually, awesome. A lot of I think the encounters are overall like right on par with the other raids. I'm not gonna say that they're like better, but they're certainly not worse either. The one annoying one is the beginning one. We have to move the vehicle along. That's gonna get real old real soon when you're on your fifth week of doing them in a row to try to get the red weapons. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it just takes so long. It's kind of like Crown. Crown first encounter was like the worst part. It was like nothing you can do. You can't make it go faster.
It's like 40 minutes of just the same thing. Yeah,
it's just brutal, right? So I think they've got to be... I think Bungie's always got to be aware of that. I think that does need to... It's like, hey, like, you have these systems in place, right? Because you can get red raid weapons and craft raid weapons, which is phenomenal. But it's quite the process to get the red versions, right? So it's like, Bungie, you got to be aware if you're asking people to go and play this raid for at least 5 weeks to get five different raid weapons. And you have to pick the same one each week. It's likely going to take you even more. It's like you can't have encounters that are going to get monotonous to play by the fifth, you know, the 10th, fifth time you play it.
Now, you just mentioned weapons. And last podcast we talked about it is like, the raid has to have good weapons. And I think they did it. I think they have some pretty awesome weapons, unique feel, good potential. What are your thoughts?
Dude, I literally put a video out today before this podcast, shouting out this podcast. I actually did it. Thank you very much. And basically said, like, this is the new S tier. Like, this is these are potentially best in slot weapons. You really could make an argument that a lot of them are literally the best in slot. Like, especially stuff like, I mean, the Kinetic 900. Like, I would take this new SMG over a multi-mac for PvE any day of the week. Like, the fact that the Origin perk heals you. Like, and not, like, often for a little chunk if you're just using a normal weapon. But if you're using the SMG and you're pumping rounds in, you get like half your health back sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Or the grenade launcher, like, is insane with chain reaction. My God.
The other thing, is like, if your HP only increases that much, it doesn't matter in PvP That little bit of HP might be the difference between four shots or three shots to kill you, or one extra
bullet. A
three-shot
with a hand cannon turns into a four-shot.
And how many times, especially if you're like a good PvP player, you'll be shooting someone, strafe behind cover for a quick reload and pop back out, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, by the way, you don't have to hit me once now, you have to hit me twice. Yeah. It is incredible for L play.
The new pulse rifle is the first ever energy aggressive four-round burst. On top of that, it's got like combinations that we've never seen before, like Dragonfly and Rampage together on an aggressive burst.
Dragonfly, and One For All 2, which I think is even saucier, because I think if you Dragonfly someone and it explodes and kills two near, you get One For All instantly, right?
Sure. Like, that's cool stuff. And on top of that, it's like, my roll has extended mag, and I put a backup mag on it, and rapid hit, so it reloads mega fast if I'm hitting my shots.
Nice.
I have a 64 round magazine, so I can kill six people in a row in PvP without reloading it. And then when I do reload it, I have so much health back.
Yeah. And can I tell a funny story, a funny interaction I had on Twitter?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I put out my video, and I was like, these weapons are insane. Like, I think arguably the best origin perk in the game, right? Like, just, it's so, like, everyone runs 100 recovery for a reason, right? Like, healing is so important. And the fact that these heal you just for reloading, and they don't even need kills, you just need hits. So if you're shooting a boss, it's still gonna reload you. Anyways, like, I put out, I was like, these are the new, like, potentially best in slot weapons. And some guy was like, notice how everything Kakus like puts in a video is S tier. And I find I was like, well, I'm not gonna like make videos on shitty weapons. Like, I'm
yeah, like that's kind of the point.
I'm not gonna
man.
Make a whole video on like, yeah, this weapon's bad, don't use it. Like, I'm like, I'm gonna obviously, if I make the video, it's gonna be on the best weapons. And then he's like, and then he like found a weapon from like 7 months ago that I thought was gonna be better than it was. It was like the Dreaming City auto rifle. I was like, this thing can get overflow frenzy. It was like the only kinetic at the time. I think it was like before the only, like, anyways, I was like, okay. I was like, but these weapons are really good. They are S tier. He's like, oh yeah, I know, they're S plus tier. I'm like, well then why are you getting mad at me for saying they are? He's like, well, because in the past you've said, I'm like, dude, I'm like, what am I supposed to say? I'm like, what do you want from me, dude? He's like, yeah, they are S tier, but you can't say that they are. I'm like, what the hell, dude?
Sense.
I had a guy say in my comment section when I said that the aggressive pulse was best in class. Obviously, the only other thing it's got to compete with is Sacred Providence, and it outclasses it in like a myriad of different ways. Yeah, And the guy's like, we got to crack down on these YouTubers trying to tell us that everything's the new best thing. And I'm like, disagree with me. Explain your point. And he was like, well, validate your position. How is it not the best in class compared to the others? And he's like, well, that's not the point. I'm like, then what do you even say? Yeah, you know?
There's definitely, like, obviously there's, you know, there's YouTubers, you know, every weapon a YouTuber uses will be the best, you know, the PvP YouTuber best hand cannon meme, every hand cannon they use is the best hand cannon.
I made 8 of those videos. Incredible.
Exactly. But it's like, so you can understand people being like, hey, don't call everything the best, but it's like, if the video is explaining, hey, here's why I think this is the best in slot, it's like, it's just so many weapons come out, and there is power creep. Like, the reason, you know, if I'm making, hey, this is the best now, this is the best, is because literally stuff is replacing the last thing I made a video on last season, right? Mm-hmm. What was previously the best in slot last season, right? Now this new one has an origin perk, and that other one didn't. And so we're seeing these weapons get better and better, and we are seeing a little bit of power creep, because, like, Firefly and One For All for that pulse is already insane. No other pulse could get that. And I don't think in the history of Destiny. I think the auto rifle from Black Armory could get Firefly Rampage. And, like, that was it.
Right.
Right? So we're seeing a weapon get better. Firefly One For All, I think, is better in PvE. And now it has an origin perk that was previously impossible. So we are getting, and, like, we are getting more powerful, which is kind of interesting. And then you know, why'd they have to sunset stuff back then? If they would have sunset stuff now when we were getting these juiced weapons, I think people would have taken that better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It'd be like, oh, this is, oh, so these are those new OP weapons you wanted to give us. Like, nice.
Right? Not the Europa weapons that all suck, dude. Yeah. Like,
Or just the same weapons we literally had just got, but now
it's
sunset. And I'm like, screw off. I have that weapon already.
Yeah.
Now, some of the weapons have gotten better, but one thing that remains the same is sometimes the Destiny community can get a little wild. There are some hot takes on the raid emblem, and it started a fire on Twitter. I saw some posts saying, like, you know, they extended the contest mode to 48 hours. It devalues the value of the emblem. There should only be one for 24 hours. Some people are saying, shut the hell up. That's stupid. Like, who cares? And I mean, I'm in the camp where it's like, if you beat it on the same difficulty as the other people, I don't care if it's day one or if it's day two, you beat it on the same difficulty, you should have the same emblem. And like, yeah. Oh, well, we beat it day one. And it's like, okay, congratulations. You don't have a job. You don't have a kid that, like, you know, you had to go to their hockey practice or something like that. Like, yeah. I missed my son's playoff game because, like, I made a commitment to the raid. And it's
your
one of the...
Son? Missed your day one raid.
Yeah,
you
no, but like, it's honestly, it's a huge regret. And I don't know if I'll ever do another day one raid unless it's like I have no obligations because he got a hat trick. Sure. He got 3 goals. We won 4-2. It was one of his first hat tricks ever in his life. And I wasn't there because of a goddamn raid race. Like, are you kidding me? I feel like trash. But maybe, I made a commitment to 5 other people and, you know, is what it is.
Maybe because he didn't have the pressure of his dad breathing down his neck and he's finally free.
Hey, maybe. But, you know.
But no, I see what you're saying. It's so, interestingly, there was almost another similar event to this with Garden, remember? Because the servers literally went down. And funny enough, we were in the trenches when that happened. And I think we were in the middle of a run. I think we were in the middle of like, oh, we're on the third down phase. This might be it. Server shut down. Now, we were obviously failing all night. We might have failed it again. But we got screwed by the server shutdown. And by the time it went back up, like an hour and a half, 2 hours later, I forget what it was, everyone's tired as absolute crap, right? And it's like, So for that, they actually made it so that people would get the day one if it was like extended by 2 hours. And a lot of people like were... I remember Data was like, no, this is not good. It's not in contest. Like, people were so mad that they reversed it. Mm-hmm. So I had the day one emblem for a little bit, then they took it away from me because I was like, oh, okay. Honestly, I don't really care. I've never cared. Like, my emblem is the crown emblem and it's never coming off. So I don't care. But for some, it's like we had an issue like this. But so for this time, notice that they kind of technically did the same thing, but they kept extending contest mode, which is definitely the big factor. Mm-hmm. Like, killing the boss with and without contest mode makes all the difference in the world. And so, you're still killing the same boss, you're just doing it later, right?
And it's like, could argue maybe you know the tactics, and it's like,
well, the
that's
thing is,
fine.
It's like, okay, everyone, the thing is like, oh yeah, but you in the next day you learned the tactics. Like, you didn't just watch what Salt Greppo and Datto and Glad did, right?
Or just look it up on Raid Secrets or
exactly.
Whatever. Yeah.
Like, everyone else was, you know, had, you know, one of these top tier players had Redeem in a second screen during their run and just copied what they're using. So you can't get mad at someone else for just getting some sleep and then doing the same thing you did the next day. Yeah. Right? It's still contest mode is contest mode. Like, that should be kind of the end to it.
Yeah, and I agree. I think the 24-hour thing, it's fun, but at the same time, it also has always encouraged really unhealthy habits. It has, like, you know what I mean? Like,
especially
it just encourages very unhealthy habits.
Yeah.
So, I'm totally for the 48-hour thing. If they decided to make that a regular thing moving forward, I'd totally be down with that. Because I would basically say, okay, let's go at it for, you know, 8 hours, mm-hmm. like you would a typical work day. Let me clock out, get dinner with the family, you know, get to bed on time, wake up in the morning and hit that grind at 8 a.m. and go right back at it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would love that because it's not that you don't have the skill to do it, but it's having 6 people who are willing to sacrifice that much time in one sitting and then be useless to society for the following 48 hours. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean,
that's a challenge.
It's an interesting thought. Should it be 40? I honestly don't want it to be 48 hours. I don't. I think it should be 24 hours because here's why. Again, I don't care about this emblem. Destiny players go after emblems like they're gold bars, bro. The amount of people retweeting these emblems, I had a mute emblem giveaway on Twitter. I'm like, I can't possibly stand one more person farming clout with an emblem giveaway, bro. I don't care. So I don't care. So I'd rather just have the 24 hours. And listen, if I don't get in 24 hours, it becomes easy mode. On that 25th hour, or, you know, 24:05, I clown the boss in one phase because it's 10 times easier. I obviously know the mechanics. I'm on to the guide, right? I don't want multiple day. I experienced this already, TV, with Riven, yeah, right?
I hear
that
you.
That was multiple day longs, and it was brutal.
What if contest mode was the only mode for 24 hours, and it remained active for 48 hours? But 24 hours in, you unlocked the normal mode. So if you were doing contest mode and you decide it's too hard, I don't care about the emblem, I just want to get the raid done, after 24 hours, you can switch to normal mode, but you don't get the contest mode emblem.
Yeah.
But contest mode remains up for 48 hours. If you wanted to pursue that emblem,
yeah,
you could keep it on and finish it out. What about that?
I think that would be the solution, because the 48-hour thing is bad for one reason. If you can't do it, like, some people just literally, they're not good enough. That no one wants to hear that they're not good enough, but some people just aren't good enough players, right? Or you don't have a good enough team. It's just facts, right? It's unfortunate. Maybe you didn't level up enough. Maybe you don't have the right weapons, whatever. You're not a skilled enough team to beat, let's say, the final boss.
Yeah.
So now it's like, I have to wait another 24, you know what I mean? It's like, I could have.
No, I feel you.
We could have given up, come back the next reset, and we crank this guy, right? But yeah. Now it's like 48 hours, so you're literally just like waiting until this time is up. And I think that is the scenario you want to avoid. So I would agree with 48-hour contest, but then switchable to normal. But I think I don't want it to be 48 hours like forever going forward.
Yeah.
Or what if you could just toggle it on whenever? And I don't care if you beat it 9 months from now. If you can beat it on contest, you get the emblem.
No, I think I don't like that idea, because it's like, what? It's just going to be like, I want to get worlds first. I get a team of 6 simps willing to run through on normal and tell me all the mechanics.
No, sorry. No, there would be contest for like that first day. But then if you want, like, let's say you just couldn't rate, like maybe you're out of town. But you want that emblem. It's like, yeah, you can turn it on a month from now and do that challenge. And it's like, yeah, you beat it on that challenge.
I think, but I think it's like, it's more special if it's on a day and everyone's paying attention. Everyone's watching, you know, people. I had a ton of viewers watching me stream on YouTube, bash my head against the wall and almost come to tears at that boss and all that stuff. So like you get a lot more interest in the event if it's a limited time thing.
Right.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
I think it's just, in this case, I think, who cares? It's like, listen, there was definite server issues. Extend it for this one time. Let's hope next time we just go back to the normal strategy, the normal 24-hour thing.
So speaking of a 24-hour thing, that's about how long Battlefield was popular. But Elden Ring, let's move on to some other topics. Elden Ring is still absolutely popping off. Lost Ark is still popping off. Some of these games that came out recently are doing really good. But look at this. Elden Ring. Because Ryan, I think, shared a photo the other day with Battlefield's player population and Elden Ring. And that was, you know, a day or two ago. But I just looked at it again. I'm looking at it right now. The 24-hour peak for Elden Ring is 732,000 players.
Whoa.
Playing 39 minutes ago, 566,000. That is a very popular game. But the thing is with Elden Ring,
you should not have come back to Destiny. You should have made an Elden Ring game popping.
Is what it is. But the thing with Elden Ring is, you know, it is a single player game. You could do some co-op stuff. But you would assume, like most single player games, it's really popular for the first week or so, and then it really peters off quickly. But the thing with Elden Ring, not only is it very big, it's got a lot of replayability. There are strength builds, dexterity builds, tank builds, mage builds, faith builds. There's so many spells, so many summons in the game. It is one of the deepest Souls games there's ever been. And so people are doing a playthrough and going, all right, I'm doing the exact same thing, but now I'm a mage. It's even the boss fights are so different because some of the, you know, the attacks they use, there's, you know, a boss that he reflects your spells back, but only if you're using spells. So, you know, you're going to have a completely different encounter there depending on the build that you're using. I've got a great sword, and when I hit you, I do 1,000 damage, but I get punished severely if I miss or depending on the bosses. So I want to play it again with a katana and go really fast, or a dagger, and see how different some of these bosses are, because some of them punish the hell out of me because of my weapon. And then others, I just absolutely roll over because they've got big windows where I'm like, all right, now it's my turn to smash.
That's
so
right.
This game is really, it's more popular than I even expected it to be. I'm just looking at.
I may have to eat my words, because I said this game looks like it's going to be. I said this game looks like it's going to be incredible, but I think that it hits too niche of an audience to be game of the year. I may end up eating those words.
Really?
Because I'm looking at these player numbers, I'm like, this reached a massive audience. And it reached out to people that never interacted with Souls games before, you know. And
well,
I may have to be called on the carpet for that comment.
But to be fair, do you know what Dark Souls 3 all-time peak was?
What?
129,000.
That's kind of what I was expecting,
right? Elden Ring 950,000. So it's a magnitude of like 6 or 7 times higher. And it is absolutely a good game, though. Like, I've played all the Souls games. Early on, I was like, we'll see. But the more I go into it, it's like, yeah, this game truly is amazing. And unfortunately, it's one of the reasons why I haven't made as many Destiny videos or been playing as much, because I'm really enjoying Elden Ring. And I just, that's what I want to play in my free time. And I mean, honestly,
yeah,
I do want to be a Guardian again. I have been playing. I want to make some videos and stuff. But like, at the same time, now that it isn't my main source of income, it isn't my main game, if I'm not enthralled, if I'm not obsessed with the game, it's like, well, I don't want to force myself to play. I don't have to force myself to play. And so when they've got these games like Elden Ring, I'm like, sheesh, I really want to play it. And like Lost Ark even is also doing amazing. And I can't remember what the figure was. It was like 22 million players. Ryan, wasn't it like 20 million players?
Lost Ark just announced 20 million worldwide players.
That's nuts.
20 That's million worldwide players. And so Lost Ark has been around for a while in other regions. But here's the thing. Lost Ark, all-time peak, 1.3 million. So it's actually even above Elden Ring. And if we look at 43 minutes ago, 673. So Lost Ark is currently getting more players than Elden Ring. And maybe it is a little bit more accessible. You know, it is free to play, so that is definitely something to consider. Is Elden Ring, you know, you gotta put the money up, but Lost Ark is free to play, so that's part of it. But the fact that Elden Ring is at $550 and you have to pay for it, that's a pretty good sign. Because all my Genshin viewers, they're asking me, oh, why aren't you trying Lost Ark? And they're going, well, what is this Elden Ring game? Because a lot of people that watch me, you know, are Malaysia, Philippines. They're not buying Elden Ring. They hardly ever buy games because it's days and days worth of working to afford one game. They have to be really sure that they want to play it. They're not going to just buy every game. Yeah. And they're way more interested in those free-to-play games that they can jump into and grind a bunch. So,
yeah. It's Elden Ring just popped off. Like, this is great. I think it's like because it kind of like there was so much hype around it, and you have like popular. I think you had a lot of popular YouTubers like, you know, Critical loves it and stuff, and he's promoting the crap out of it. And so you just are bringing a more casual audience. No, you shouldn't even say casual. Just an audience that doesn't usually play Souls
much
games.
Broader audience.
Souls
game.
Yeah, and I think that's partially why this is just such a colossal success. Like it is just. And it's actually a good game. This was a hype game, a AAA game that finally succeeded. Mm-hmm. Like, when's the last AAA game that came out that you're like, banger?
RuneScape. Oh, sorry.
Horizon.
Horizon.
Yeah, he's been grinding Horizon.
Horizon and this, but then before that.
Yeah.
Battlefield 2042. It's not Battlefield. It's not Call of Duty, right?
Yeah.
So there, you know, it is like these AAA games that actually I think people maybe are a little bit more like cautious because they're like worried about like Battlefield type stuff. And so once they're like Elden Ring, you're in the clear. It actually runs properly. People are like, let's get it, baby. And they just buy it like crazy.
So, okay, is it naive of me? Is it jumping the gun where it's like, see, you know, like it is possible for them to hype up a game and then it's good. Like, what if Star Citizen is good? What if the new Elder Scrolls game is good? You know, like
Starfield
Starfield, like in the back of my mind, I'm like, could it be? Could it be that they'll release and they'll be as incredible as I hope they are? I mean, Elden Ring did it. Maybe they can as well. I hope so.
Yeah, honestly,
I really hope so.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It's like, I think there was a kind of a sentiment around Battlefield where it was like, I know like Drifter made a video on it. It was like, is this like the death of AAA gaming? And we're not really going to see these AAA games keep failing and failing and failing and people to have no hope in them. Cause it's like, it's a glorified beta for the longest time. And it's like, is these more indie games are the ones that are catching on? Among Us and Valheim and all these indie games, right? And so then Elden Ring and Horizon come along and just lay their schwangin' thing on the table and just go, hey, we're not going anywhere. You know what I mean? We're getting it right. And then now it's like, all right. But also, I think the meme that you sent where it was like, Battlefield has like 1,000 concurrent players and Elden Ring has 500,000. And then it's like EA saying that, oh, single player games are dead. Right? It's like, clearly not. Even though Elden Ring does have, I guess, a multiplayer component, you can invade people's games or whatever. I think that's pretty a minor part of it.
That's not a selling point. That's not one of the reasons.
So it's fascinating, though, because it's like, clearly, people are still in the market for an expansive, like, single player experience. Like, you don't, because honestly, everything's multiplayer. It's kind of nice to just have some single player, right?
You just go at your own pace, like dick around and check out that cave in the distance. Like it's a game.
It is nice.
It's good.
Yeah.
That's what I'm absolutely loving about Horizon. It's been so refreshing to be playing a game and not at all one time have a thought cross my mind about, can I make content out of this? How can I make this entertaining? Like, I just I don't care about that. I'm immersed in the game. I'm loving the story, loving the characters, loving the gameplay. And it's just so cathartic to be able to zen out again to a game like that. Mm-hmm. And it's something that, I don't know if this is true for you guys, I don't get that very much anymore. Because I look at a screen, I play video games for work, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day. I don't get a lot of time just to sit down and play a game that I want to play for me and no one else. Like, that's not something I get to do very much.
I analyze every game that comes out. Could I pivot my channel to this? How much content is there? Would this game die? What is the reception? Like, I analyze every game because it's like, I'm going to jump on that trend because it's my job.
Yeah.
But there's some games that I just want to enjoy for me. Hollow Knight. Elden Ring, I've been streaming it, but like, I'm playing off stream. I'm doing my thing. And, you know, that's the thing of when you turn this into your job is like, you need some of those games to just be a gamer. I don't want to resent every game.
Speaking of which, someone in the chat just said, Wonderlands looks really good. Oh, boy.
Oh, no. You don't know what you started.
Oh. So, the problem with Wonderlands is, like we said, it has to be good enough that we just play it completely on our own, not worried about content at all, because Wonderlands pulled the same crap that Borderlands did. I think there's already a certain amount of like Borderlands creators
that they know and love.
That's someone like Killer Six, right? Who, this is not any hate
super
towards
nice
Killer
guy.
Six.
That guy
we
is
all
so
love
nice.
Killer Six, right? And so if nice. Any of us were in his position, we would have said yes to this. So this is not, but they basically just said, here you go. Here's the entire game a month early or however long they're getting it. And that's what it looks like. Just to put this in perspective, could you imagine if they're like, yeah, so Rick and Datto and like Fallout are getting there and Astrocross are they, those four are getting Witch Queen 2 weeks early.
And the raid included.
They can't, raid included. They can't make any content until launch date. But then, and that launch date, and then it's like, I got a video.
You can't publish any content.
Max out build. I got my raid guide coming out.
Day one.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, does that sound unfair? Does that sound unfair to other creators? Right? So, you know, name another creator. I don't know. Like, Frostbolt doesn't get that. Do you think that's fair to Frostbolt? And of course not. And, like, just imagine, that's literally what's going on with Borderlands. And so it's like, I am not making any content on Wonderlands because I have literally no chance.
People. The only shot you have is to bring something different to the table. You can't do weapons.
Which I absolutely can.
Like, you'd have to completely pivot the entire thing that you're known for and bring, something to the table to the Borderlands community that isn't immediate things they're searching.
If this was an actual scenario, like, if this was a Destiny scenario and they gave it to people early, I would still make content because I'm a Destiny creator. Like, I would still have to make content. It would suck, but I would still have to do it, and I would probably make some different, decent content. But it's like, if I don't have to cover this game, I'm not going to, right?
But also, like, if you had that same situation, you have to think to the advantage it gives you in the sense that, like, I jump in, I see the Raglet D or whatever that shotgun is, and I'm like, wow, this is really good. But you have access to some other, like, activity 2 weeks from now, and you're like, oh, don't even bother farming that because there's a better one coming. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
understanding those things and, like, oh, that's going to get outpaced by this or all these different things. It's just, it's crazy. I remember the first day of Borderlands. I was like grinding away. I was like playing for like a bunch of hours. I'm like, oh, I got all these videos. And then I saw, and again, it's not, no hate. I would do the same thing if I had the opportunity, but it was like Jolts, dude. And it was like gun review, 2 hours later, gun review, 2 hours later, gun review. It was like every single legendary for like 4 days in a row. It was like 50 videos of just like legendary review. And I was like, oh my God. And then I was like level 30, 40. I was like making my way through. And then he's like level 60 Moe's guide, level 60. Like other tree on flak level 60. I was like, what the hell? He's got a maxed out guide for every character in the game. I'm level 40. Like, how is that even possible?
And so, my first character,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I hadn't even started playing the game yet, and yeah, there's already like max level guides out. So again, it's just an issue of like, I don't know why they're doing it. It kind of if they're like, we like these creators and we want them to represent our game, that's totally fine. But then it's like, I'm not covering it. I know Tash isn't. And I'm a Borderlands fan. I used to be a Borderlands channel. Yeah. And so it's sad to see them do this because it's like, again, if this was my main game, things might be different, but it's not. I would be going out of my way to cover Wonderlands, which I would consider doing if I actually had a fair chance to make some content on it. But if I don't, I'm just not going to bother.
And if it is good, like they're saying, and there's the end game, I'll probably play it. And I'll just enjoy it for what it is. Like, kind of like Outriders.
Right.
Like, you know, we made some videos, or I made some videos in Outriders. And I mean, it was a good time. I didn't play all the way through.
Video?
But, like, you know, some of those games, you just jump in, you enjoy it for a while, and it is what it is.
Yeah. I think, though, one of the biggest takeaways for me of that situation, the way they set that up, is I feel like it does shoot them in the foot because I guarantee we're not the only content creator. This is how we think when you're in this industry. So we're not the only people who looked at the competition and said, risk and reward, this is how I feed my family and pay my mortgage. Risk and reward, do I stay or do I go make content over a different game where I know the risk is lower? Most people are probably going to abandon ship. And that is a lot of influence. That's a lot of reach. That's a lot of free advertising that game misses out on. Because we literally just talked about this with Elden Ring. Compared to the other Souls games, you have these massive content creators out there playing it, talking about how good it is, and that got a lot of people interested.
Yeah.
And it reached these massive communities of people who the game was probably not on their radar. Now suddenly it is. Now suddenly they're playing it, and now suddenly they're hooked on it, and they're one of those 750,000 concurrent players. You know? So I think it's just not a good business move. It's not all from a selfish perspective. Like, yeah, it does suck to be a content creator that has to fight an uphill battle against competition that big. But at the end of the day, it's more about the game developer shooting themselves in the foot and reaching fewer people.
Well, it's also going to affect the viewers because, it definitely seems like we're saying like, oh, boo-hoo, we have to compete harder with these other guys. But it sucks for you, too, because, listen, like I said, same scenario. I get Destiny early. Fallout gets early. Astrocross gets early. Datto doesn't. right? Cut them out. Get rid of it. You know what I mean? Like, they've got to pick certain people. So I know for a fact a lot of people like Datto and they don't like me. And some people like me and they don't like Datto's content. Whatever, you know, it's not hate, just some people prefer different content creators. Mm-hmm. But in that same scenario, could you imagine? I'm coming out with a raid guide the second the raid goes live. Datto still has to beat it. I got it early. So you got to watch me. You don't even like me. You gotta watch me because I'm the only guy putting out the videos, right? So it's so it affects the viewers because if you don't like Jolt's dude, this is just not saying we don't. I'm just saying if you don't like him, if you don't like his style of content, good luck. You know what I mean? Because he is putting out the main content of the game. So it's like if you don't like a small subset of creators and you like another creator, but this small subset got the game early, it's like you have no choice. It's like, are you really going to wait for your boy to like level up to level 70? Like, probably not. These guys have guides right now. So again, it hurts the viewer because the more people making content, the more styles, the more opinions, the more like people can find new strategies that other people would have missed, right? Like, you know, I might come up with something or have an opinion or have a god roll that I think is the best and someone else has a completely different opinion. But if someone else gets the game early and is putting out the video before I even have my hands on the weapon, like, obviously that's going to influence the community in a big way.
Yeah.
So,
and Roshan in chat, by the way, I think you'd be surprised. He says, I don't think content creators not covering a game would ever hurt the performance of a game. Content creators have nothing to do with how I choose my game. And that's totally fair, but you would be surprised. There is a reason why some developers will pay $1 million plus for a single person, a single influencer to play their game in front of their audience. They don't throw around those figures if it doesn't matter. Okay? There's a reason why even smaller content creators can get five figures in a single day. I'm talking one stream, one video, they'll pay you $10,000 plus
Naraka to do it
in front of your audience. So you would be surprised. Developers, they would never do that if it didn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you can't say that they don't make a difference and then they pay Ninja $1 million to play Apex Legends for one day. Like, they obviously make a difference. And also, like, best example, Among Us. That game was literally dead. You left it up to the general public and the game died. It was only because creators came along and streamed it together and showed, hey, how fun is this game if you get your friends together? And people were able to watch that and go, oh my goodness, I can do that. I mean, Among Us ascended because of content creators, right? And it's just like, hey, it's kind of a new thing, right? We're not just trying to pat ourselves on the back and say, content creators are make and break for games or whatever. But it's kind of like the modern reviewers, right? Like, certain movies, a great example is Die Hard. Die Hard, when it came out, didn't do that well on opening weekend and stuff. And then, like, as word of mouth and reviewers were like, no, this is actually, like, a really good action movie. Like, it started to, like, climb and climb and climb. And now it's, like, you know, the cult classic it is. Not even cult, the classic it is, right? So, like, content creators are, in a lot of ways, like, similar to the old school movie and restaurant reviewers. Like, that's how a lot of the word of mouth gets out these days.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Speaking now, of word of mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Are you going to I was going to say,
speaking of word of mouth, Bobby Kotick might have given some great word of mouth to a couple of friends. What's that all about, Ryan?
Yeah. So, like, two longtime friends of Bobby Kotick, they just no reason. Just, you know, the 2 days leading up to the news about the Microsoft purchase of Blizzard before that went public, two of his close friends, just no reason, decided to drop about $170 million in Activision Blizzard stock.
That's it?
No reason. You know, they've already seen a 70% return on that investment. It's only climbing. But, you know, what are the... what a crazy coincidence. Like, what are the chances that, you know, Kotick's best buddies decided to drop a ton of capital?
Right.
You know?
Because they would have bought it at about $64 US. And 3 days later, it went up to $82. So that's pretty good. It's a nice little jump up.
What's some smart investors, man? Who could have seen that coming?
Truly great
geniuses
planning. Truly great planning.
We were joking before this, like, it seems like open and shut case of, like, complete insider trading, right?
Right.
It's like a couple of days before they get bought, the friends of Bobby Kotick buy. But we were joking. I was joking. I was like, bro, look what Nancy Pelosi. Listen, it happens all sides of the aisle, but Nancy Pelosi is 100% the most egregious example of, like, a politician doing insider trading. She, it's like, buys shares in Google. A month later, it's like, Google has signed up with the U.S. government to do whatever. It's like, there's literal accounts that all they do is, like, tweet out what Nancy Pelosi and Nancy Pelosi's husband. Because it's like, Nancy Pelosi doesn't make the trade. Her husband.
I didn't do it. It was Tim.
Yeah, her husband, Brian, you know, oh, I bought this defense company just before they bought all these new planes or whatever, right? So it's like, oh, brother.
Right.
There's literally Twitter accounts. All they do is tweet out what Nancy Pelosi and her husband do. And their returns are like 60%. It's like, it beats like every margin. So it's like, yeah. So it's like, you'd think this is open and shut insider trading, but I've seen the most blatant examples of insider trading and no one gets in trouble. So honestly, I have no idea. The only person who went down for it ever was like Martha Stewart, apparently, which is the weirdest thing.
She just wasn't rich enough to avoid the consequences. That's all it is. Yeah.
Which is crazy. She seemed pretty rich to me.
Halo Infinite still struggling, but apparently now their multiplayer is delayed again, and apparently tons of senior staff are leaving. You see that?
Well, hold on. Expand on that, Tash, because it's not the multiplayer is working fine. It's specifically the co-op campaign.
The co-op campaign, sorry. Yeah, the co-op campaign, which is how? How can you do that?
Because the campaign's in the game. That came out a little later after multiplayer. The campaign is fully playable, single player. And then all they want to do is just have your friend alongside you in that campaign.
Right. It's like you can load us into a PvP match with 12 people. Why can't you do that? But
Why? Like, what is the issue?
So let's run it down. Let's run the list here. Halo Infinite. Delayed campaign launch. Delayed co-op campaign to the end of season 2. Forge release
still not
slated
here.
I think it's slated for end of season 3. Currently only a seasonal model that people are pretty upset about. Player base is actively tanking, like bad.
It's at 15,000 right now, which is 7 times more than Battlefield, but it used to be 250. So, yeah. You know, it's down then, a lot. And just for comparison, just really quickly, just for comparison, I know Destiny 2 isn't just a PvP game, but there's 120,000 on Destiny. So, and I know there's a new DLC, but, like, you know, you have to just think about shooter games.
Yeah.
You have those different things.
Audience overlap there. Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. So it's pretty concerning stuff. And this isn't to speak to the quality. We're not dogging on the quality of the game. But the seasonal model thing is probably not working out too great, according to player feedback.
It seems
they've had to delay a lot of stuff.
Hold on, I just want to ask you, like, the seasons, because I haven't really been paid, but the seasons are nowhere near like a Destiny season where you get like all these new weapons.
No,
no, it's just like armor.
It's like
we've added
team snipers for this season and new microtransactions.
A new playlist that'll come around every now and then, kind of like Iron Banner. They had Fiesta that kind of it shows up every now and then, and you can get some pretty cool looking armor. I'm not going to like downplay the design of some of the cosmetics that they've dropped. Look really good, but it is that seasonal model, and I think that people are starting to get a little tired of it.
Battle pass and everything.
But on top of that, they've also had a lot of I'm not talking like just some random employees. I'm talking senior developers leave the company over the course of the last few years. And even right now, they're lead multiplayer designer. Their senior lead multiplayer designer is like, out. Like, that's kind of a big deal. So they keep losing senior personnel on top of all of these issues. And they're really fumbling with their roadmaps. The community is feeling like you need to communicate with us what to expect. And they're like, we don't really know what you should expect. So it's kind of a tough situation. I never cheer for a game to fail. I mean, as a gamer, even if it's a game I'm not interested in, I want it to succeed, because when games succeed, that's good for all of us. And it just continues to raise the bar across the industry. So I'm not cheering for it to fail, just to be clear. But yeah, this isn't looking great.
Well, Nick in our chat actually says the biggest issue, in his opinion, is that they have no progression other than the battle pass. So you love Halo, you play Halo, you get to level 100, and it's like, you're done. There's nothing to work
for. Where are you going to go from there?
Right, whereas like Destiny, the seasonal pass level 100 is just such a small part of it. Like, I got to level 100 last week, and I've still got a bazillion things to do.
Well, and if you're going to play Halo, and there's no PvE or raids or anything like that, the PvP has to be amazing. The maps are so boring and trash. Like, I'm still looking back at the Halo 3 maps, and I'm like, wishing I could play some of those maps and how fun they were. And like, they haven't been able to secure that. So the only thing that can keep you playing is, this is the best PvP experience there is. It's the best maps. I'm having the most fun. And obviously it's not keeping people that much. And like, you know, even the rank system, it's like an ELO system of sorts, but you can get up to Onyx. You can have a negative win ratio. And get you can be below 50% and get into Onyx. And it's like, what?
Wait, why? Wait, what?
Because like, the amount you jump up is always more than you lose. And so as long as you play enough, you can like get into Onyx, and you can't go super far into it. But it's like, what's the point of this ranking system? And like, there's not even any real achievement there. It's just bizarre. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know what? Everything you said about like the maps are boring and everything you said would be completely invalid if they had a Forge mode. Because then it's like,
you make them all. You make Guardian again in the pits and all then, that.
Dude, the fun I spent, literally, I don't think I played actual competitive Halo 3 multiplayer almost at all. I spent all my time logging on after I got home from like junior high or whatever it was, with my friends, and playing Stairway to Heaven and stuff, like, just over and over again, because it was so fun, the custom games. So, we called this RGH moment, real gamer moment. We were literally saying, if it doesn't launch with Forge mode, that's a really bad thing. And I remember people in chat being like, are you serious? Do you really think that many people are playing Forge mode? Fast forward, the game's dead, we're right. Like,
where's our Forge?
Microsoft.
Where's our Forge? Yeah.
Listen, before you put out your games, hire us. We'll come into the studio, okay? We'll tell you what's wrong. We'll say, listen, you can't launch without Forge mode. Here's why. You give us a consulting fee, we'll go home. You guys can have alive games for once. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
true.
That's all we're asking.
True.
Because honestly, though, we as really people who live and breathe games could see this coming from a mile away. Like, if you don't have the community adding all this new content, they're going to have to make the content. Someone's going to have to make this content. It's either them or the community. Forge lets the community do it. They can be hands-off. And obviously, like, in a game like Halo, how do you add new content? Like, it's, like, really hard for them to add a new weapon. Harder for them to add new maps. They have to be super polished and stuff. Like, and obviously, people are going to get bored with a battle pass.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're not the only company that we could have saved a lot of heartache for if they'd asked us our opinion. I mean, think about it. What if Artesian Builds had reached out to us and said, any advice for us? And we had said, you know, don't bite the hand that feeds. Don't get yourself canceled on the internet over saying stupid stuff.
Well, Artesian Builds wanted some more impressions, and boy, did they get some.
Yeah, on their tweet today, we are sad to announce that effective now, we are freezing and suspending all activities. Ongoing is analysis by outside counsel for reorganization to ensure fair treatment of clients, creditors, and employees. We expect more info by month's end. We are open to assistance/investment. At this point, we are examining a potential employee-led buyout of the company. Thank you for your support.
So they're literally begging for an investor to buy them. Yeah.
To catch people up on the story, this computer game company called Artesian Builds picked a winner of this. It was like a small creator giveaway is how they pegged it. and they picked a winner first, which was very dumb of them, and then started to vet the winner that they already publicly picked. And they were like roasting this girl's like a very small streamer. They're roasting her like, oh, only 2,000 like,
and the winner is so-and-so. Oh, man, her numbers are terrible.
Yeah, her look at her concurrent viewers, trash. It was like, yo. And then like, and then they say like, basically to enter this competition, you had to have this like little, in your about Twitch section, a little artesian builds thing. And she did, which is all you needed. But then they said like, no one ever clicked it because she's so small, blah, blah, blah. And it went viral. The girl tweeted out and said like, this is insane. Like, I won this contest. Like, I just kind of entered. Like, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't know you had to.
And now I'm getting roasted and lit up. Yeah.
Now I'm getting roasted. And then they like cite these rules that weren't even there. And now I'm not getting my PC. Like, yeah. They said they're not giving it to me. And so it went absolutely viral. They got a lot of their big partners obviously backed out. They got roasted to crap. And now they're basically going under. So it's like this one decision, because you wanted more exposure, right? Because you wanted to pick a small streamer, but, you know, a kind of a big small streamer. Not really a small streamer, like a big small streamer.
Yeah.
It's like, now, great. Now you have no company, stupid.
Get wrecked. Honestly, get wrecked, you dumbass.
It's like, yeah. Sometimes the idiots expose themselves.
Yeah.
And this is one of those.
Yeah. Someone said, like, you know, it's sad for the employees because it was obviously all the dumbass CEO and his ham radio apology. Like,
that was the weirdest thing I heard. This was his apology. Sorry about the.
Yeah. Dude, this guy was like talking on like a 1930s radio. Like, it was like the worst audio I've ever seen. Like, if I was getting exposed and I had to put out an apology and I filmed an apology video and I watched it back and it was like, oh, hang on, I'm so sorry. I'd be like, wow, I should refilm this.
If you had a guy standing behind you smacking on a cowbell, it would have sounded better than that video. Like, just dunk, 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 like the whole time. It would have been a better video than that.
It was like, I literally, like, and everyone was just clowning. I was like, what is with this audio? And it's like, you literally have your streaming set up where you have fine audio. Like, why didn't you just do that, dude?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, yeah.
Anyways,
really bad. They're gone. So I don't, unless like someone buys it,
or the employees say, you know, purchase a percentage or something like that, and then oust the CEO or something. I don't know how that works because they were seeing like the employees were trying to maybe do something like that. And like, you have to understand too, if he's the CEO, there's going to be other upper management. So maybe the CFO or some of these other people, because Artesian was big enough that they're probably making decent money. And, you know, maybe one of those guys that has a decent salary says, all right, get out of here. I'm going to buy the company from you. I'm going to take charge and we're going to keep this running. But who knows? At this point, it's like, are people just going to roast them long term because of their name and refuse to support them even with the personnel change?
Yeah, I think it's rebrand time.
And there's just so many competitors
now,
too, right?
Now it's a meme. Now it's a meme.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So you're done, right?
Yeah, it's like, I bought this PC. Are you going to send it to me or am I not big enough yet? Like, do I have enough viewers for you to actually ship the PC to me or no?
Literally.
So, I got to pay another $100?
So anyways, they're finished. Just like the meat of this episode of Real Gamer Hour in 15 Minutes. We appreciate y'all for being here, but we are not totally done, are we?
The first thing we want to say is huge shout out to our sponsor, Advanced GG. You get that in focus there. Amazing energy drink. Buy their tub. Just need a little scoop. Gives you a long lasting energy with like basically no crash.
I was going to say, how much did you have during the raid?
Living off this stuff, brother.
Like, you had an IV bag and you just kind of squeeze it a little bit.
M-Tash Mango Splash right into my veins. So definitely try it out. I think there's a bunch of starter kits on sale where they're only like $10. They come with a bunch of different little packets of flavors and then a shaker, and they're $10. And if you use code RGH, it's 10% off. And I think, like, it's the starter pack's on 50% sale. So then if you use code RGH, it's 10% off in addition to the 50%. So you get them for, like, next to nothing. And a great way to try it out.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, Sir D has a flavor. Travel Danielle has a flavor. I have a flavor. Tash has a flavor. Frostball has a flavor. A lot of your favorite creators have flavors.
But we'll take like five or six minutes. Lot, dude.
40 servings.
Yeah. We'll take a few minutes to answer some questions if you have any burning ones. Yeah, we went a little bit long on this episode, but we got some after dark time. We could just kind of chit-chat.
We switch into RGH After Dark, where we're just going to listen to your guys' questions. Obviously, thank you to our lovely channel members. If you guys have any questions.
We had a new member tonight.
We're going to try to pick those up. So, yeah, I heard. Yeah, I already answered that. Sir Demetrius' flavor is really good.
Dr. Disrespect should make some offers. Or should make offers to the Halo Disc.
Honestly,
maybe they went there. Because he has his own, like Midnight Studio or whatever. Maybe. And like, maybe he's the guy to save AAA shooters. Like, who knows? He does have some connections. Like, people kind of meme around a little bit, but like, he was a map designer for, I think, Sledgehammer. He was a Call of Duty map designer, and like, he knows people in the industry. He's also, you know, a multimillionaire that's starting up this company, and they're, you know, going to fund it, and I'm sure they have some other investors. So, you know, I feel like he probably has more resources than some people think. If I go and try to make a game studio, I don't know anything about it. I don't know if I'm hiring good people. Like, I'm completely clueless there. He is someone who's starting a game studio with actual connections and, you know, can design half the maps himself, probably. So that definitely saves some money and resources. But hey, Falcon, 18 months.
My man.
Thank you so much.
Phalanx TV, where have you been streaming? So I tried to prep my community for this for several weeks leading up to Witch Queen. I was going to take a couple weeks off of streaming and focus on the VOD content because that's really, I think, how you generate the most growth when these new content drops come out. And it's been really good for my channel. I've seen a good jump in subscribership and viewership, so it's certainly paid off. But we will get back into the live streams probably on Friday. I'll stream again.
Nice.
We have another.
How have yours been going, Kakus? Like, you said your raid went really well.
Oh, I had a lot of viewers. I was just getting roasted. Every time I die, it would be like, I had like 11,000 people watching, so it'd be like LLLL. And then it was funny, there was like a bunch of weirdos who would be like, Datto's better. And I'm like, yes, dude. Datto and math class are 100% better than me and my five friends I randomly play with. Yeah. Like, if you expected team like Kakus and his shitter friends, and I'm also a shitter, to like beat Redeem, like, you're out of your mind, bro. But
if you expected me to be offended by that statement,
yeah, I don't really care like about this. I'm just doing it for fun, and I just want to make the guide. I have no realistic. I never, for a single moment, like, was like, I'm gonna get worlds first. I'm gonna get the first. I never have ever expected that, really. Because I just don't have, like, again, like, I'm not in Redeem. I'm not, I'm just playing with friends. But it was so funny. I said to them, it's like, you guys realize, like, you're trying to get under my skin, but it's like, you're here. You're giving me views, and you're giving me attention and subscribers and money.
Yeah.
Like, why are you doing that? Like, it's like so weird. Like, go watch Datto's stream, just his stream. Like, you've also got my stream. I'm like, thanks, I guess. Like, I don't know. Like, people think they're like hurting you. It's like, you're just giving me the views, dummy. It just like does better for the YouTube algorithm because you're trying to like bring me down. YouTube's like, they're getting a lot of comments here. Like,
all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is so funny, dude.
There was this guy for like months. He's like, this guy keeps showing up on my recommended. I'm so sick of it. I keep saying ignore and he keeps showing up. And I was like, my guy. I was like, I hate to tell you this. Now it's going to recommend it even more because you've commented on 14 of my videos. It thinks you love me. I was like, stop. I was like, I'm trying to help you. I'm truly trying to help you.
That's right.
Stop saying anything or else YouTube thinks you love me. And then he replies. He's like, oh, screw you, man. It's like, my guy, it's going to keep recommending me. Like, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Right. And I will say, someone else, like, everyone thought our team was, like, toxic because, like, I don't know what they, I don't know, the others, other teams might be like, okay, guys, like, let's go, whoopee. I don't know, like, because, like, I don't, we were, I didn't even think we're being that toxic, but, like, oh, can should I switch it up? He's like, no, 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 don't switch it up. Like, let's just keep what we're doing or something like that. And people be like, whoa, this is so toxic.
Calm down.
Like, yeah, people were like, so, I never thought it was like that. Like, one time I was like, hey, can we take a short break? And then someone's like, no, like, we got momentum, let's just go. And I was like, okay, you're right. And people are like, oh my God, you're forcing Kakas to play. I was like, dude, it's not that deep. I'm like, do these people not have friends that like roast each other or whatever? That's like, right. Like if you slip up around friends, you're going to get roasted a little bit. Like, I feel like it's a bit different.
Yeah, no doubt.
If it's six people all streaming and everyone's on their like best streaming behavior, but it's like, you know what I mean? Like, if a group of friends is playing together, bro, do you actually die there? Like, are you serious? Like, how do you die to a drink? Like, a drink was too much for you. You know what I mean? You bust some chops.
Our team was so chill.
I will say, okay, one more thing that was so funny. We had this person, a girl, Taco, who was in there, and she was our divinity.
Uh-huh.
And so every time we would wipe, she would have, like, you know, 300,000 damage. Right. Everyone else would have millions.
Yeah.
And people were roasting her. It was so, people were like, kick Taco, like, get her out of here. Look at her damage. So many times I had to be like, she's the divinity. Listen, she's the not reason doing,
our damage.
Yeah, doing damage because she has the divinity. And it was like, every time we would die, someone would be like, get Taco out of here.
You gotta give her the boot,
like, he's the divinity. I'm like, you can see a big orb that I'm shooting, dude. Someone's obviously the divinity. Oh, man. I was like,
Hilarious. Our raid team was like so chill because every single one of us was 30 years of age or older. Half of the comms was cool guy quoting Talladega Nights. And yeah, like, we just had such a chill time and we got through it. We had a great time with it. Had a lot of fun with it, but it was like the most non-toxic chill raid team I've ever been a part of. We had some other questions, by the way.
Did you beat it in contest mode, TV?
We got too enraged on the boss, but one of our guys was like, my kids are going to be awake in like an hour and mine were going to be awake in an hour. And we had to, like, you know, we called it like 15 hours before 15 hours. It was something like that before contest mode was going to end. So we had tons of time to get it done. Yeah. We were just like, we don't care.
And that scenario was what my and so many other teams did, where it's like, all right, because they extended it, let's take advantage of this and go to sleep. And we'll come back tomorrow. And people were pointing out, like, only a certain amount of people beat it on this day and the next day, and all these other people beat it. So, yeah,
because we knew we had time. Like, we're like, crash.
Like, if Bungie didn't tell anyone and until the morning of, it would be the opposite. You'd have a ton of completions day one because people would have stayed awake.
Yeah.
Mike, you had a lot of questions people were asking if you have been playing Elden Ring and what your experience has been.
So someone specifically said, do you have a waifu in Elden Ring? No, I don't. Okay. It's not like Genshin.
Someone asked the hardest boss was.
None. It's so easy for me. Hardest boss? I mean, there's a couple that I fought and then I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to be in this area. I'm leaving. But because I'm using a greatsword, even the first boss, he just has such a tiny window that he'd use all these big attacks. And then I go in with my big giant claymore and I'm like, I'm going to get you. And then he pulls out this little dagger and stabs me. I'm like, yo, what the hell? So I think that was the hardest one because I refused to use any summons, just the first boss. But now it's pretty reasonable overall. Haven't beat the game yet. It's a lot bigger than I thought. Like, I kind of got through the first couple areas. I was like, all right, not too bad. But this new area I'm in is this big castle. And it's like the whole size of Dark Souls 1. Like, it's just like endlessly big. I can't believe how big there's just the skybox is. And it's like, there's a tree in the distance and you go to that tree and you can climb up the tree and it leads to another area. And it's like, oh my Lord. So it's been really good. I'm a big fan. I've been playing it. The second this podcast ends, I'm going to go play some more. So
I actually have a question. $10 donation in there, by the way. I feel
yeah,
like...
we answered his about Did the. We?
Oh no.
Yeah, the
no,
you're right. I was gonna say that about Evan. Your video today, TV, about PvP, the connections being trash.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Evan, thanks first and foremost. Hey, I appreciate your $10 donation. Thanks for supporting us. Really appreciate that.
Even but, though I don't know where the money goes from this podcast.
We all kind of take our own cuts from random things. Yeah. But anyways, yes, the connections in PvP have been really spotty this season, and it's very noticeable, much more so than in previous seasons. And I don't know, you asked how do we fix it? I think the first question would be, what's causing it? You know, can't fix it till we know what the issue actually is. But it's not just me. I already have like 1,000 comments on that video where people are like, thank you. Now I know it's not just me. A lot of people are experiencing the same thing. Lots of latency. Aim assist isn't working because sometimes there's the target that you're trying to aim at has so much latency that the game just doesn't know where they actually are. So you're not getting the aim assist. It affects things like projectile-based weapons as well. But I showed tons of clips in my video today of just people just like materializing out of thin air. And you're like, what? You know, you try to react to him.
But
it's really bad. It's really bad. And I don't know how to fix it because I don't know what's causing it. But they gotta figure it out.
Well, someone in the chat's like, memory leak. The game itself is having some issues. Like,
yeah,
I had to turn my drivers back. I had to go back to the last driver because it was so choppy. It was unplayable. People would like slide out, and then their first shot would hit, and then their model would appear, and it's like, what that? Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm playing on PS5.
Thank you.
And you're having Gunningham, issues too.
But yeah. So I actually have a question for you guys. I have a question.
What? One,
someone commented on my, it reminded me, someone commented on my like tweet about my raid weapons video and was like, I'm just going to wait until master. So here's a legitimately confusing as crap part of this system. So the raid's out.
Uh-huh.
The master raid is coming probably in like a couple months. Okay. In the master raid, just like Master Vogue, right? You can get the adept versions of these weapons. So they can use adept mods, and they'll probably come with like 2 perks in each column.
Mm-hmm.
Not at the same time, but you can switch, right? TV?
Sorry, I'm responding to a comment. Yeah.
Okay, you heard what I said, right? The adept raids coming, adept weapons, adept mods you can use.
Yes.
Here's where I kind of was like talking with some teammates, and we all kind of went, wait. Yeah, what? I don't think you can craft adept raid weapons. I think you
Doubt
can
it.
Just craft the normal weapons. So now it's like, wait a minute. Do I want to unlock crafting for the normal weapons and then I can put enhanced perks on them? Or do I want to get the adept weapons, which are random, and then they can use like adept
big
mods?
Ones and, yeah.
But I can't craft them, so I don't think there's no randomly spawning weapon in the game that can have enhanced perks. So the adept weapons will have normal perks, and so it's like, it just seems like such a weird system, and then it's like, if this system was supposed to fix our vault space issues, so now I'm supposed to like have a crafted version, and then...
And an adept version of these.
And an adept version, if I need the extra, you know, adept range over, or adept Icarus over... It enhanced perks, or can the adept versions get, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems so weird.
I feel like if they're doing the adept versions, they should just come randomly rolled, but with enhanced perks. Or else, why would you even go and do the master? It just doesn't make sense.
Right?
Because it's like, well, maybe, yes, I lose the adept mod, but I've got the enhanced perks that maybe make up for it. Because some of them actually are pretty big. Like, some of them, I understand maybe it's not worth the effort to get. But I think Frenzy, Adept Frenzy, it lasts like 50% longer. So
yeah.
so you get into battle, and then there's a little bit of downtime. 50% increased duration before that drops off is pretty damn meaningful, right?
Oh, yeah. And even like, you know... There's some pretty minor ones, like adept auto-loading is like 0.2 seconds faster, but it's like, hey, 0.2 seconds can make the difference between killing the boss and not. And then there's another one where something lasts, I think it's like adept one for all lasts longer too, and that, you know, a couple seconds, and adept for the bow, adept, what's it called? Where you get the headshots, then you can shoot faster.
Oh, Archer's Tempo?
Archer's Tempo lasts longer too, which is obviously a but again, it's like...
Someone in chat said that since the API opened up today, the adept weapons are showing enhanced perks as options.
But they're not showing craftable. I didn't see any enhanced perks.
Well, the enhanced perks only come from crafting, so... If the API shows an enhanced perk on an adept weapon,
I think this person is incorrect, because when I go to the Vow of the Disciple gear and I click on the adept deliverance, right? It actually says, like, in red, this weapon is craftable for the other ones. And so this one, it doesn't say it. So if I go to the other one, this item is craftable. But
the adept one doesn't say that?
The adept one, this weapon is eligible for random rolls.
My guess is it will always have adept perks. That's my guess.
I don't see anywhere where it says that the perks are enhanced. It does let you show enhanced perks.
So maybe, do you think they can drop with enhanced perks? That'd be whack. That'd be weird. Okay, I don't know.
I'll be hunting that SMG.
We could sit here and speculate all day, but it's been an hour and a half.
He is right, actually. It does let you in the API show the enhanced perks for the adept weapons. So perhaps the adept weapons can spawn with enhanced perks.
Do you know what else the API showed? Arms Week. That never happened.
True.
So I don't trust nothing until it's in the game.
Yeah, you shouldn't put all of your baskets in the API, because stuff can definitely change.
Yeah. Anyways, absolutely. That was a long episode we had lots to chat about today. Thank you so much for watching. This was the RGH Podcast. I'm MTashed.
I'm Cacus HD.
I'm True Vanguard.
And we'll see you next week, Wednesday, not weekend, next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. All right? We do it every Wednesday. It's a great podcast. Make sure to sub here, follow us here, love us here. And we love you too. Okay, this is getting weird. Bye.